Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. It's always a treat to catch up with musician Mary Gaucher, beloved by fans of country, folk, and Americana music alike for her honest and poignant music and lyrics.
Fish swim, birds fly, daddy's yell, mama's cry.
She did a lot of hard living before embarking on a music career relatively late in life. Mary Gaucher will be back in our region for a string of dates this spring, April 28th in Burlington, Vermont, May 3rd in Northampton, Massachusetts, May 5th at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, and June 11th in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Mary Gaucher, welcome back to The Roundtable.
Such a pleasure. Good to be with you again. Thank you for having me.
Sure. The last time we talked a couple of years ago, you had a new album out, and I saw on your website that you've been recording of late. So how's that process going?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Over the last 4 years or so, I've been writing songs with veterans through a program called Songwriting with Soldiers, and I just recorded a collection of songs that were co-written by people who have been in the service. And so that is what I have on deck, is a collection of songs that tell the often harrowing story of people who have been sometimes in combat, many times family members of people who have been in combat. And the songs are sort of a description of what we've been doing the last 17 years as a nation, without a lot of us having the inside story of it. So I'm excited about getting these stories out to the world.
Why did you want to work with vets on songs?
Well, it came to me more than I went to it. I guess it's a good fit. I heard your introduction that my story has some harrowing moments in it as well. I think I'm able to interpret a difficult story into a song. I think it's a gift that I was born with, and I understand the power of it. And so I can sit with someone who has been through a difficult experience and not be afraid. And I can listen and take that experience and use it as a way of making art. Taking something difficult and turning it into something beautiful. And through that, it heals in ways that are quite profound. So I think that's what I'm on earth to do, is to tell the hard stories and show the resilience of human spirit. We're remarkable beings, and there's a spirit inside us all that really is about love. The stories in the end, if I look at this record I just made and the story songs I've written over the last 4 years with the veterans, even the most hair-raising ones in the end are about love. Believe it or not, the toughest of the tough guys, in the end, love is what saves us all.
So are they musicians when you get paired up with them, or are you funneling their experience into music?
They're not musicians, and they're not songwriters. Mm-hmm. They're veterans that are sent to our group to work with us, oftentimes by the VA, sometimes by their therapist, sometimes by their peers. And the way the program works is we pair 4 songwriters with 15 veterans, and we get to work. We listen and take their stories and turn them into songs. And so we use their words and their experiences for the language of song, and we use our skill set as songwriters to put music to it and move it into this art form that communicates universally. It's very difficult for someone who's been through trauma to talk about trauma, their trauma, because just by nature, trauma, if you're traumatized in some way, it means that something has happened that's ineffable. There's no words for it. That's one of the reasons it's so hard to talk about. There isn't an acceptable or understandable group of words you can put together to describe it. And so you shut down. But it turns out music is a great vehicle for this. There's the power of melody to move emotion. Where words fail, music can pick up the slack. And so I guess I innately, as someone who has been through some stuff, I use songwriting to heal parts of myself, I guess. And now I'm grateful that I'm being called to use the skill that I sort of instinctively developed to work with other people who have a body of pain inside that needs to be seen and released and acknowledged. You know, songs in their purest form are empathy. We see ourself in a song and it reflects ourself back to us.
We lie here and we lie here awaiting the return of the passion that has left us with the patience we've learned. Sinking in the ashes of the red night's final swing, the sun fades the color.
Music is one of the most, if not the most, a powerful way to see inside a person, inside ourselves. So using songs and songwriting to connect people who have been disconnected because of a traumatic event, it's just a natural fit. And I'm excited about being given this privilege to work with people who want to do this work, who want to get better. You know, we're losing 20 veterans a day still to suicide because of trauma. And so it's important work and it's life-changing work. I feel called to it.
That kind of leads me to my next question. I read that you have a book coming out soon about teaching songwriting.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was doing all morning. I'm still smoothing out the lines. I'm trying to articulate in a book what I just tried to say. Maybe not so well just now. It's actually a whole book's worth of information I'm trying to jam in here, but I honestly believe that songs, if applied to deep trauma, can help move it out of the body and the brain in a way that nothing else can, because it allows you to be seen. And so an honest song, an emotionally honest song, it comes from a higher place, and we all know that. We feel it. So that's what my book's about. I think it's going to be called The Art of Song, Seeking Truth in the Key of Life. And it ends with me and one of the veterans I've worked with on stage at the Grand Ole Opry for the 90th anniversary of the Opry. And we're singing a song that we wrote together at the Ryman. And the moment is glorious. And the book has a happy ending. Josh and I are standing on the stage, blown away by the power of song and truth and the way that it opens hearts and the reaction of the audience to his song. And he got up there and played harmonica with me, which was incredible. We had a grand old time at the Grand Ole Opry. I'm just trying to put all of this learning that I've accumulated over the last 4 years and then the learning about songwriting that I've accumulated over the last 30 years into a book.
I'm curious about that because it doesn't seem like you're protective of your gift or your process. Why do you want to share the keys to the car, as it were?
Because it's way more important than me. It's a practice that, if done in a certain way, can be a lifesaver. Songwriting has saved my life. And so many of my songwriter friends, this is the first thing they'll say is songwriting saved my life. When I bring them into a workshop, I teach songwriting workshops a lot, and I bring my fellow songwriters in. And person after person, I brought John Hyatt in, and one of the first things he said to the class is songwriting saved my life. And then we see how it works. If you apply this art form to not only your own struggle, but to someone else's struggle, to articulate it, how it saves lives. And I think it's because it connects hearts in a fundamental way. You know you're not alone when you pour your soul into a song and you play it and people look at you and go, oh my God, me too. You get this resonance that tells you you're not alone. And that's the opposite of trauma. Trauma is feeling utterly alone and unseen and unloved, and connecting through empathy is feeling seen and known and loved. And this is way bigger than me. I don't have the keys to the kingdom, but I'm going to try to walk as close to the kingdom as I can in this book and articulate it. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of books about how to write a hit song and become rich and famous and get laid. I'm writing the opposite book, how to write a song and get to the heart, not the chart. So it's not as much about the commercial aspects or the profitable aspects, financially profitable aspects of the art, but about the spiritual part. That's what I'm most interested in as a songwriter and as a human being.
Still, though, you do have to make a living if you're in your line of work. And I remember the last time we talked, we talked a lot about your background, which we don't have to get back into. But you did change careers and left restaurants fairly late in life to embark on music. And I was wondering how long you gave yourself to make a go in music when you did make that change. You know, how many years?
That's a great question. It wasn't about years, it was about money. I told myself, I'll do this until I go broke. And if I went broke, then I would go find some more people with money and talk them out of it and open another restaurant, which was my MO. I managed to convince three groups of investors to open three different restaurants with my assistance before I became a songwriter. And so I had about $50,000. I came to Nashville with about $50,000, and I said, if that money disappears and I go broke, then I wasn't meant to be a songwriter, and I'll figure out a way to get another restaurant going. And that was 18 years ago, and that $50,000 is still in the bank, so I guess it's working. You can live as an artist without having to write hits. I believe people will pay you. If you show them who they are and your work, they'll compensate you with enough money to keep going, you know. And I've always felt like making a living was enough. Making a killing was never the goal. A living will do.
Getting ready to speak with you, I was listening back to your album Filth and Fire from 2002. We're talking a lot about songwriting and how you go about it. What do you think you've learned about it in the time since that album, like 15 years ago?
Another great question. What a wonderful interview.
Thank you.
What I've learned, I think, is that songs are benevolent, that they come, they're always floating by, they come on the wings of a mystery, they want to help us. They want to help us with our struggle. They want to help us to see each other and ourselves, and that my job as a songwriter is I'm an alchemist. I take this mysterious energy and turn it into something tangible, it's magic, really. It's magic. I go into these workshops with these veterans, many of them are not there because they want to be. They're there because they don't know what else to do, and their therapist suggested it, or the VA suggested it. Someone, their wife suggested it. So they're not sure why they're there, and they're not really wanting to be there. And I sit with them, and with the guitar in my hand, and I ask them to tell me a few things, and we start talking. And I play a little music and try to find the melody of what they're saying. I try to find the sound of what they're saying in the music. And it opens them up. And in less than an hour, sometimes we've created this magic that is a piece of their soul that the world can see now. And so I just absolutely believe songs are benevolent, and they come to help us with our humanity. If you choose to approach it as a spiritual practice, it's a doozy. I mean, I'm in Nashville, so people here by the thousands approach it as a commercial endeavor, and that's good too. It works. I mean, you can make a lot of money doing this, and you can figure out the formula and successfully get rich doing this. But I'm not as interested in that as I am in the deeper, more significant practice of helping people with their lives through truth telling and emotional truth is the big resonant thing is when you feel the song and know it to be true from an emotional place. That's what's really interesting to me, and that's what I want to capture.
So do you see this work with the veterans as being sort of an open-ended, ongoing thing? Certainly there are going to be more veterans all the time.
Yeah, I do. And I think big picture is using art to applying art, the art being the search for truth, I guess, emotional truth, applying that to trauma and to suffering as a way of working through it.
Just on a slightly happier note to end, have you heard about the Cafe Lena renovations? I know you haven't been there in a couple of years.
Oh, are they renovating?
When you walk in, you'll see a whole new Cafe Lena for sure.
No kidding! What a great thing! I love that little place. It's just, you know, it's an American institution. It's an important venue for music. So many great songwriters have come through there, and American music has been made there. The great roots of American music they got their sea legs there, and so I'm happy to hear that. I've always been a big supporter of Cafe Lena. It's an important venue for all of us.
Well, Mary Gaucher will be at Cafe Lena May 5th. That's in Saratoga Springs, New York. A week before that, she's in Burlington, Vermont on April 28th, May 3rd in Northampton, Mass., and then back to Vermont on June 11th in Bellows Falls. And it's always just a pleasure to have you on the roundtable. You'll have to come back and talk to us when your book is published.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you letting me go on and on about things that are hard to talk about. I stumbled over my words a little trying to get this into concise sentences. I appreciate your patience, and I really appreciate your wonderful questions. I thank you for having me on your show.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.